I don't know if my knees are going to allow me to do that too many more times. I might have to find myself my own little table and chairs. Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was that commercial once upon a time where two people, one with a jar of peanut butter and the other with a chocolate bar, were rushing through their own little worlds. And in the intensity of their own hyper-focus on the thing that was most precious to themselves, either the chocolate or the peanut butter, they neglect to see the collision that is about to occur. But occur it does. The two bubbles collide, private worlds are shattered, and the chocolate and the peanut butter are mingled, fused even. You got peanut butter in my chocolate. You got chocolate in my peanut butter. And with that, the Reese's chocolate peanut butter cup candy was born. Two scrumptious snacks brought together in one, two worlds of once insular existence forever bound by the power of marketing. And yet, who would have thought that a TV commercial for a candy treat would have so perfectly illustrated a profound theological truth? I'm sure the creators of the ad only wanted to sell processed peanut butter and chocolate and sugar in glossy packaging to eager young TV watchers like me in order to make a lot of money. But what they unwittingly produced was the truth of Jesus' statement, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. You see, we are so much of the time either the chocolate or the peanut butter, or at least we're the ones hyper-focused on what we have in our own little bubbles, in our own little worlds, as we travel through the halls of our existence or down the streets of our experiences. We love nothing more than to feast on the goodness that is in our hands at the moment. We want to savor that what we have without the competition of mixing ourselves with the strangeness of the other. How often do we insulate ourselves by age, by gender, by preference, by entertainment styles, by race and nationality, by body type or fitness acumen, by wealth, by clothing, by preponderance of body odor? Personal space and agency over our own bodies notwithstanding, we are, as a species, drawn to a state of individualism where personal responsibility, self-sufficiency, and autonomy are prized, even lauded. The types don't mix well, even in our modern world. Men and women, young and old, popular and nerdy, gifted and dumb, wealthy and poor, lawful and criminal, successful and lazy. How many people here liked the halftime show during last Sunday's Super Bowl performance? A couple. You see, it's not the right demographic to ask that question. That was a show that appealed especially to people born in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and a few others of us out there that, well, might not have quite understood it, but even enjoyed it. Like chocolate and peanut butter, we're supposed to stay in our own worlds until we don't. And that, Jesus declares, is exactly what God has in mind. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for your abusers. Turn the other cheek. Now let's be clear. These are not an admonition for anyone to stay in a relationship that is violent. For too long, these words of Jesus have been used by the powerful to justify an abuse of their strength and privilege, be it wielded by tyrannical kings or husbands that never learned how to love, or entitled rich boys at a party with underage girls. What Jesus is not saying when he says, love your enemies, is that we should allow ourselves or anyone to be tormented by those in our world who don't show love and respect beyond their own self-righteous noses. But what Jesus is saying is that where and when that abusive, power-hungry, self-righteous, even violent hatred causes innocent people to suffer, then and there, God expects us to show up. God expects it because you and I are the ones who have heard the truth about the gospel. You and I have been encountered by God in Christ. You and I have been saved from the power of hatred of others unto ourselves, even when that hatred comes from within and seeks to kill us from the inside out. There's that famous quote about having met the enemy. It's actually distorted a bit in the once popular Pogo comic strip to illustrate that oftentimes the enemy, in fact, is ourselves. We create these false little bubbles around ourselves, not just to protect our chocolate from other people's peanut butter, but to imagine erroneously that we can separate ourselves from the destructiveness of hatred, evil, and sin. When Jesus says, love your enemies, he is, as he does in so many other places, calling for an end to the divisions that create enemies and friends, us and them, good and the bad, right and the wrong. God hopes to make a whole new candy, a whole new goodness that everyone can enjoy. So we've been lifting up this month our partnership with two of the places in our neighborhood that provide for those who are without permanent shelter to find a safe, warm landing spot. The Samaritan House has been a force for good in our neighborhood for many years. They provide respite for about 100 individuals, couples, and families, food and shelter, rest, renewal, encouragement, and direction as they build up their resources, financial, mental, and spiritual. And the Warming Center is relatively new to the Flathead, focusing particularly on ensuring that people have a place to come in out of the cold during the long Montana winters. The Warming Center receives folks in all the grace and love of a God who calls us to welcome even the strangest of strangers. They do not turn away the drunk or the high or the most offensive of our neighbors while insisting that inside they conduct themselves with respect and safety for all. And the beauty of both of these places, beyond the goodness that they serve up on a daily basis, is that they are the peanut butter to our chocolate. They are the place where we, in our own little world, worried about our little troubles, protecting our little treats, can bump into those whose treats will meld with ours, creating that whole new candy that God desires. You see, the enemy is not the poor, but the evil at work in our world that keeps us from encountering the poor and offering a bed, a meal, a hope, and a purpose. The enemy is not the one who is drunk on the side of the road, but the lack of imagination to build a place where all people are welcomed and received. Take a look at how the warming center becomes a place where the good in us and the good in our neighbors collides.
I lost everything. Lost all hope. That was really something, like gaining hope again is probably one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do, I do believe.
When someone is just trying to survive, they need two things. Not just a warm bed. They need relationship and they need hope. And that's what our community has helped us to be able to provide through the Flathead Warming Center. You know, behind me, you might just see beds, but I see a lot more than that. I see places where people have been able to stretch out for the first time in a very long time, where people have found warmth and safety and where they found community. What I love about when people are able to participate and contribute to community, that changes everything. That changes behaviors, that changes attitudes. It really takes down walls to where you can really start to work with an individual and really get to know someone and really help someone.
For a lot of our homeless neighbors, they're walking around town and people are avoiding eye contact. They don't have a lot of interaction throughout the day. And we really wanted them to come here and for them to feel just a strong sense of dignity, of hope, of community, a place that they could have conversations about life and feel like they've got a greater purpose than just surviving.
My first night was one of the best nights here because I think I slept the longest. I think I was just worn out from the night before, sleeping in the car, in the parking lot and stuff.
The biggest push was God's grace and how I've experienced God's grace. Not making it about the homeless individual, but making it about what type of person am I, what type of community are we. We really just wanted to treat people with the unconditional love of God that we've experienced.
There's no, I can't. My mom always told us that. Don't say I can't. There's always I can. If it's I can't, it's because you're not trying.
I'll tell you, it's been incredible to just see all the different people that have stepped up and helped out in huge ways, just with donations, with financial contributions, with their time. I mean, so much time behind the scenes that people put in just because they did care.
Like, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna show some love, I'm gonna bring some hope into people, you know. And I think inspiring a lot of homeless people is one thing that I'm about, you know. And people have come up to me and said, hey man, you just kept me going for another day.
There aren't enough emergency beds here in the valley. And what we've learned is that there's a lot of value when we can become a resource for our police department, for the sheriff's department, for those who work on the front line in the middle of the night. When a person is in crisis, they need a place to stay that night.
People see us a lot as law enforcement officers where we're out writing tickets and making arrests, but we all also have this very important role that's called a community caretaker, and there's even a community caretaker doctrine that allows us some flexibility to help and work with people. You know, at 3 o'clock in the morning on a January morning, we run across someone who's moderately intoxicated, is homeless, perhaps cannot take care of themselves. We have that obligation, we have that moral and professional obligation to ensure that they don't freeze to death on a corner somewhere. Finding solutions to help us administratively as a police department is how we partner with the community. And I see the warming shelters as one of these partners for the community that helps give us tools to help people.
Relationships is very key to what we do here when we're building a community. Relationships between volunteers and guests, that was a beautiful thing. Relationships between guests was a beautiful thing. Having a family here with a young teenage boy and seeing the community help him with his homework, that's what builds community. And that's what we really tried to do here at the Warming Center, is build a community. And I think what we ended up with was a family.
That was difficult to hear. I'll have it on our Facebook page and our website this afternoon. But that video starts off with someone relating how they lost everything. And it ends with family. And in between, guests and directors and donors and community, law enforcement, and random folks who reach out to lend a hand come together like chocolate and peanut butter to create something deliciously wonderful. And the secret ingredient? No, not sugar, but something much sweeter. It all happens when love is inserted into the mix. When we and that which we hate, that which we despise, that which we might so much more easily turn away from in disgust collides. When we love the enemy that is poverty, people are given a warm bed. When we love the enemy that is hunger, people are fed. When we insert love into the enemy that is despair and hopelessness, even we who lend a hand or a dollar or a meal receive the gift of God's grace. Thank God that we and these places in our community have collided. Thank God for Samaritan House and the Warming Center and all of the places in our community where we intersect with others in our world. Thank God for our partnership with them. Let's hang out in those places and maybe have some candy. Amen.